You bet, Steve. Happy New Year, man.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Well, the college football playoff is tomorrow. We had what turned out to be, in some ways, an irrelevant feeling Cotton Bowl last night. Do you feel like, you know, in the world of unintended consequences, the college football playoff has had some unintended consequences?
Well, yes. I don't know if this was something that really should surprise anyone, but it has certainly placed less value on the other bowl games. It's something that Nick Saban said when the system was launched, that you know, all the attention would be on the playoff, and it's why I think the playoff ultimately will expand to get more bowl games or more teams and players involved instead of this trend of opting out continuing at the rate that it has. You know, you just don't want to see games like last night. I mean, once you knew who was out for Florida, it just didn't become a very appetizing contest, and it wasn't. And that's unfortunate because it's hard to really draw any conclusions out of a game like that. But not a huge surprise given the trends in a year like this and the fact that only four teams have an opportunity to play for a championship.
Which brings us to the next part. To my knowledge, Adam, there has never been an opt-out of anybody playing in the college football playoff. Would expanding it give us a better product because you would not have opt-outs in all likelihood if they went that direction?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, again, you have to figure out, are you still going to have the first round of the playoffs in bowl games? And if so, you're basically making four meaningful bowl games instead of just two. And so that would certainly, I think, increase the appeal at this time of year. But then are you going to go two more weeks into January, because the traditional bowl games are right around New Year's Day. So do you have a quarterfinal round now? Do you have a quarterfinal round earlier? Those are all things that need to be worked out. But certainly, you know, to have increased meaningful postseason opportunities would likely continue that trend that you mentioned, Steve, where you don't have players opting out when they have a chance to win a national championship.
What would you advocate, Adam? I mean, you've thought about this. You're somebody that's always been a forward thinker in my mind. What do you think works best for everybody across the board and makes the sport better?
Well, I think an expanded playoff absolutely does make the sport better. I'm a bit torn because I would love to see playoff games on campus as well. I think it would be so cool just for the different areas of college football. You know, that would really incentivize. Everyone says, oh, it's going to ruin the regular season. Well, if you're a top seed, if you're Ohio State, and you can get a Southern team coming to Columbus right now, that's a huge advantage for you in the first round. So, I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's just creating these bowl environments and expanding that into four quarterfinals instead of two semifinals, and then figuring out what you do with the semifinals and then a national title game. You know, how do you handle the NFL playoffs? How do you handle, you know, the start of the new semesters in some cases, although I think that's overblown. That's where I am. I mean, I just want to see it go to eight because I think it'll be more of a true national playoff. It'll bring in more of the country. It'll create more opportunities for the group of five. Will it create more teams that can win the national title? Steven, you and I both know the answer to that. Absolutely not. The same teams are going to win the national title. It's going to be a very small group of teams. So it's not about, oh, my God, we're going to have all these different champions. No, it's about access and opportunity, plain and simple, and making the postseason better than it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. There are two points I want to get to. Let's start about the relevancy of the regular season. To me, one of the problems with the argument of relevancy of the regular season, as you and I both know, Adam, by September 30th, a lot of teams are now out of it. By Halloween, virtually everybody's out of it except for a select few. I think it would actually create more relevance on the regular season.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And you know, even if you do, you know, decide, and I'm not a huge fan of this, but if you just decide to go conference champions only, you know, a team, as long as a team is in position to, as long as they're not eliminated, they still have a chance at the playoff. Now, I don't really want to see, you know, a two-loss Oregon team like this year out of the Pac-12 get into the playoff just because it happens to be in the Pac-12. So I think to your point, certainly would keep a lot more people interested for longer because you're right. Right now, most of the teams are eliminated before the ball's even kicked. Let's face it.
Yeah.
You love college football because you love your alma mater. You love going to the games. It's a family tradition. Whatever the reason, most college football fans don't appreciate.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC.
Oh. Yeah, I'm just saying, no college. Most college football fans don't go into it, you know, being obsessed with the national championship, because only a few fan bases can realistically do that.
Now here's one of the great quote under the category of old expression, white lies, that is told all the time. Everybody, when the season begins, has a shot at it. You and I both know, okay, immediately you've got 65 teams that have no shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, half the pool's eliminated before they even kick the ball off.
Right, and see, that would be the one thing. Again, I'm not a big automatic berth fan in an expanded playoff, but the one group that absolutely should have a seat every year is a group of five. So, you know, this year would be Cincinnati, or, you know, maybe it would have been Coastal Carolina or Louisiana if they hadn't lost again. You know, whoever it is, I'd love to see that team at least know, okay, if we win our conference and we beat some big boys in the preseason, their non-conference season, we have a chance to be part of the playoff. I'm fine with that. And then the rest of the spots doesn't really matter to me as much how they're selected. I think you're going to get most of the right teams in most years. So one spot for the group of five, seven spots, selection committee, or however you want to do it, and then here we go. Let's kick it off and have a better playoff system.
Right. So now let's go to the next part. Now, this is completely speculative, but let's face it. The NFL, Jacksonville, if Trevor Lawrence wants to go to the draft, they're going to pick him. The worst team gets the first pick. College football, the best team gets great recruiting classes year after year after year. Does this have a chance, under the guise, Adam, of speculation, to maybe spread the wealth of talent because more teams would have, quote, a shot of getting in?
You know, it's hard to say, you know, because college football is set up the way that you said.
yeah.
But my thing with the lack of variety is that there's a number of, you know, there's probably a handful of programs, maybe 3 to 6 to 8 programs that just aren't measuring up to what they've been historically. And if those programs were, if USC was maxing out, if Texas was maxing out, if Michigan was maxing out, Florida State, you know, I think we would have a little bit more variety. You know, certainly what Alabama and Clemson have done is outstanding, and Ohio State's been the dominant program in the Big Ten. But, you know, there should be other programs that can push them at least more often than they have. Same with Texas and you know, pushing Oklahoma. Oklahoma's been, you know, similar to Ohio State. They've dominated their conference, but you haven't had maybe as much success in the playoff as they would like to. So, you know, we just need more of those programs that are capable, Penn State I'd put among them, to be challenging for playoff spots. I mean, if you told me this many years into the playoff system that USC would never be in it, that Texas would never be in it, that Michigan and Penn State would never be in it, that Florida would never be in it, that Georgia was in it one time, I that's not how I thought this was going to go. So I do think that there is opportunity for programs that have the capability to rise up. They're just not rising up enough.
Right. All right. So let's go to you tweeted out about Penn State's transfers. They got a fourth one today. So in the world of college football today, there's the early signing date, then eventually now a less publicized late signing date in February. What does the transfer portal mean for programs? Because you and I both follow not just football, but we've seen what it's done in college basketball.
Well, I think it means different things for different programs. You know, I think one thing that everybody has to understand is that you're going to have players going in. You know, even programs that have had great stability pre-transfer portal are seeing some guys go in. And now they have to decide how active do they want to be. You know, I was talking to a Big Ten coach the other day about this, and he was saying, like, some people don't do any research on the portal. They just take whoever based on a highlight clip or
right.
Just the fact that they need a position. Like, you know, he thinks it's really important that you do your research on who you want to select out of the portal, or at least recruit out of the portal, because it's not just as simple as, oh, someone went in, let's grab them. I don't think that works out most of the time. Most of the, like most things in life, Steve, you know, most things don't work out. Most of these transfers right. don't work out. And so I think that's important, obviously, for the players to understand. It's also important for the teams to understand in terms of how you know, who do they want to get out of the portal. So again, it's different for each. You know, some teams have been very successful. I think Penn State has picked up some really good players. Love it, especially from Baylor. Given what you know, the issues at running back this year, I think it was a really good addition for Penn State. But we'll find out. There aren't as many guarantees, I think, as when you recruit and develop somebody and you've been scouting them for 2 or 3 years in high school.
Completely agree with you on that last point, without question. But you know what skews the perception of the portal was last year's college football playoff. Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts. Three of the four starting quarterbacks were all transfer portal guys. And that's where
the
perception comes in.
Different.
Yeah, the perception comes in like, oh, you can get instant riches there. I'm just talking perception now, not reality.
No doubt. And, you know, in many ways, Russell Wilson started it. I mean, Russell Wilson, you know, completely changed where Wisconsin was on offense. Even though they were a really good team before he got there, he made them an exceptional offense the 1 year he was in Madison. And I think they brought in Danny O'Brien from Maryland, and it was a different story. And so, you know, again, for every Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts, they're guys that don't pan out. But I do think the quarterback spot, I mean, you saw it in the Big Ten this year with Peyton Ramsey at Northwestern. Yep. I think, you know, Michigan State's hoping that the kid from Russo from Temple might be their answer at quarterback. Right. So, you know, the quarterback spot is unique because it can only be one quarterback for most teams, at least. And so that's a spot where, you know, being smart and active in the portal can oftentimes help you. I mean, Jack Cohn at Wisconsin, he's in the portal. He's a guy who's won a lot of games. And I think whoever gets him, if it's the right situation, could really benefit from adding a guy like Jack Cohn.
And the irony is Peyton Ramsey, I come down the elevator at Northwestern to do basketball. I get to the lobby, and there's parents and a son standing there. He had a Gator Bowl backpack. I said, "Are you Peyton Ramsey?" He says, "Yeah." So I talked to him for like 20 minutes at him. That was his visit to try and transfer to Northwestern. So talk about irony. How do you view tomorrow's games?
Well, you know, again, I'm very curious to see if Notre Dame can keep it close. I think Notre Dame, in some ways, even though it's going to be a real tough task for them, is set up to be in this game because of where their offense is. If they can just control the ball, if they can limit possessions, if they can stay on the field, rush the ball, don't turn it over, and then just keep Alabama's offense off the field as much as possible, they're going to have an opportunity. Can they keep Alabama from scoring? Absolutely not. But they can limit the possession. This isn't a great Alabama defense. It's a very good, very talented group, but not an elite defense. I think if Notre Dame can bounce back, maybe they can be in the game. You know, Ohio State's the big mystery, right? You know, we've only seen them 6 times. Feels like they're still trying to figure things out. Who are they as a football team this year? It's just been such a stressful struggle to even get to this point of being in the college football playoff. But we know they're going to need to play better. You know, Clemson appeared to have peaked or is peaking after what we saw in the ACC championship game, whereas Ohio State didn't look the part for much of the Big Ten championship game, especially quarterback Justin Fields. So interested to see how Justin performs. He's always kind of been second fiddle. I mean, he wasn't in recruiting, but at least in college, he's kind of been second fiddle to Trevor Lawrence. You're from the same state. Can he outshine Lawrence? I thought Ohio State was the better team last year. They really let that game slip away. Can they avenge that loss? If not, it's going to be the pairing that we're used to, Steve. It's Clemson and Alabama playing for a national title in Trevor Lawrence's last game with most likely either Lawrence or Devontae Smith having won the Heisman Trophy.
Absolute pleasure, as always. Great conversation. I really enjoyed it. Happy New Year to you and yours, Adam. I look forward to talking to you in 21.
Okay, appreciate it, Steve. Yeah, Happy New Year, and stay safe out there. Thanks.